بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We always commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us all the goodness we have. He has brought us into existence, and he knows best why he brought us into existence. He has explained to us and he has left clear-cut messages as to why he has made us, so all praise is due to him. Allahu Akbar. Also, we send blessings and salutations upon all the messengers who were sent by him to remove us from darkness to light. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send special blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. For indeed, the guiding light sent to us as an ummah, as a nation. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be from those who do not insult the status of the messenger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who can follow the message of that messenger, understand why he was sent, and at the same time enjoy life within that which he has taught coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send blessings and salutations upon his family members, the family members of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who stood by him and supported him. We ask Allah to make us also from amongst those who can support and stand by our family members who strive and struggle to achieve the pleasure of the Creator. Ameen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send blessings and salutations upon the companions who also struggled and strove, and those from the chain of the people who brought the goodness to us. May Allah bless them all. And may He make us also from amongst those who can learn, who can rectify, who can correct, who can pass the message on after putting into practice. And may he make it easy for us on this globe where it is becoming more and more difficult to live as a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. My brothers and sisters, just as I walked in, I listened or I heard a little joke that was being cracked, mashallah, on a screen by a man. And when I saw that, I said, inshallah, this evening we will be a little bit more serious by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a serious topic, and really it is for us to listen. And it is for us to digest, put into practice, understand, and go home with something that we can effect good change in our lives by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He grant that to us. As I started, I made mention of Allah creating us. Allah made me and you. Why did He make me? Why did He make you? That's the best question you could ever ask yourself as a human being. There is no better question than that. Why did Allah make me? Such a normal, natural question. Sadly, babies and little children ask that question more than adults. But the answer is only understood by adults. And the answer is understood more by those who look deeper into revelation. Allah says, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدًى. Does man think that he is going to just be left purposeless, without any purpose, nothing that Allah intends from you, nothing Allah wants from you? Do you think you were created for nothing? Allahu Akbar. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a few other places also in the Quran, لَوْ أَرَدْنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ لَهُوًا لَتَّخَذْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا. If we wanted to make an amusement out of this creation, and if we wanted to just pass our time, we could have done that. Allah says, no, this was not just a pastime. It was not just a means of amusement. It was a blessing for creation that Allah created creation. Subhanallah. It is a blessing for me that I have been given an opportunity to worship my Maker. It's such a big blessing. It's a blessing for you to be breathing in a way that Allah is giving you a chance to praise Him, to worship Him, to understand why you are here and where you are going. And this is why it is normal for a Muslim to be pondering about the day he will come to an end, or she will come to an end, in terms of this life, on a daily basis. So much so that the Messenger, peace be upon him, says, whenever you read your prayer, your five daily prayers, read it as though it is the last prayer you will ever be able to offer for your Maker. Salli salata muwadda'in. What a powerful wording. He says, fulfill your salah as though it is the farewell prayer. Do we do that? Sometimes we fulfill it as though the Formula One that we're about to watch after it is much more important than it. Subhanallah. So Allah sends rain to wipe it out. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But whether it is raining or the sun is shining, you will still have your time to pray. And it will still be a moment for you to put your head on the ground for the Maker, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, you should worship me the way I want you to worship me. And you should be conscious of the fact that you are going to be leaving this world very, very soon, after having been given a full opportunity to engage in what you are supposed to be engaging in. So what am I supposed to be engaging in? Allah says, and this verse every one of us should know of by heart. I love to repeat the verse, because this is the verse that makes me realize and understand why I was made. Sometimes I've heard people say, it sounds so dry. Astaghfirullah, you haven't understood it if that's what you think. And some people say, is that what it's all about? Am I not allowed to enjoy the world? You're allowed to enjoy everything that you have been permitted to enjoy, because that is true joy. You will never achieve long-term joy from being sinful. It's impossible. Ask those who have hit the scenes and the charts. Ask them. They will tell you the contentment we found was in the masjid. The contentment we found was when we turned to Allah, our Maker. The contentment we found was when we put our heads on the ground to a Maker who made me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. And if they have not turned, they are depressed. They are on antidepressants. They are fed up with their lives. They don't know what next move to make with their bodies. They don't understand what next to do with their marriages or their children. They don't understand what to do with their wealth sometimes. And they don't even understand what to do with their brains. Sometimes they want to block them with intoxicants, all because they have not found the real purpose of existence. Subhanallah. And every one of them who has found the purpose of existence has definitely smiled, never to look back. May Allah protect us and grant us goodness. So Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقَ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Amazing verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, I have not created mankind and jinnkind except for one purpose, and that is that they worship me. I do not want them to feed me. I do not want them to grant me any form of sustenance, nor do I want them to feed me. Allah is the one who sustains. He is the one who feeds. Subhanallah. Allah is the one who sustains. He is the Almighty, the Powerful. He knows. He is independent. He has everything. He does not need me or you, but it is us who need Him. Subhanallah. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid in yasha' yudhhibkum wa ya'ti bi khalqin jadid وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ O people, you are the ones who are in absolute dependence of Allah. You depend totally on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do you know what? Allah is totally independent from anything that comes from you. Allah does not need you. Allah says, if He wants, He can replace you. He can cause you to go. He can delete you. And He can replace you with others. Subhanallah. And Allah says that is not difficult for Allah. That is not difficult at all for Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I don't worship, there are others who will worship. There are others who are worshiping. I'd better start worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do I worship Him? It would be a grave injustice if Allah did not send to us an instructor to instruct us how to use this very sophisticated piece of creation known as man. When Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ We have created mankind in the best of postures. Subhanallah. It would be wrong for Him to have created such a perfect posture and then not send an instructor or a manual to describe and to teach how this particular creature should handle itself. Subhanallah. Moments ago, we heard of the Android device. Sometimes it is known as a user-friendly device. User-friendly. Do you know what? Man has also been created user-friendly. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا When Allah took you out of the wombs of your mothers, you knew absolutely nothing. He gave you a fitra. He gave you a nature upon which you shall walk. He gave you ears. He gave you a mouth. In a few moments you shall be speaking. In moments you will hear, you will register, you will understand, you will walk forth, you will start asking questions. The good news, the children of today ask much more questions than I did or you did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. We need answers to these questions. We cannot fool them anymore. And this is why when we have deviant tendencies, we will never be able to answer our children. If someone tells you, my mother, why did you have to bow down and kiss the toes of that man? Is he your God? And you will have to say, no, he's just a saint. Well, if he allowed that to happen to you, to him and to you, then how can he be a saint when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not allow that to happen to him? And you as a mother will say, well, I don't know. The answer is, your child has won the debate. Allahu Akbar. Your child has won the debate. You cannot fool them anymore. They will turn away from Islam if that's the case. Because people have realized that to worship sticks and stones and to turn to graves and people and to turn to that which may be of an idle nature and that which is besides Allah is the very reason that has been causing their deviation from the right path. Subhanallah. What makes us different from others who might worship the cow or the sun if we too are worshipping other creatures of the Almighty? Look at that. And this is why the children, no longer can we lie to them. We need to know in order to teach them. So my mothers, my fathers, parents who are here, brothers and sisters, spend your time learning the truth so that you can teach the truth to your children rather than letting them turn away from the entire religion just because you conned them without knowledge and they had a question that you could not answer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Gone are the days when you could tell your child, listen my son, you're not supposed to ask this question. Gone are those days. They will Google it. And you know what Sheikh Google looks like? He's a ghost, believe me. You don't know him. He will come in the evening. He's got two O's in the center and he goes, ooh. The more results you find, the more O's you will find at the bottom of the page. Have you noticed that? Subhanallah. Why? Because he's a ghost. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us from this ghost. It can be beneficial, but it can be detrimental. Brothers and sisters, if you are not going to learn to be able to answer the questions of your own children, you might become enslaved by something that you will really be embarrassed to admit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children from the deviant tendencies and beliefs of today and the deviant methods and paths and roads that lead them to becoming fed up of their own gender at times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So Allah has sent a messenger. Why? Allah sends a messenger, and He has sent messengers in the past. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اِعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. We have sent to every nation a messenger. To do what? To remind them to worship Allah alone and to abstain from taghut. Taghut, anything that is evil, satanic, unacceptable, is known as taghut. So Allah has sent messengers to show you the right path and to show you the wrong path. To show you the right path so that you can adopt it, and to show you the wrong path so that you can stay away from it. Subhanallah. Did you know that? So the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mission, do you believe it was complete? I want an answer. We are saying yes, not loud enough. Do you believe his message was complete?
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. He asked the question to his companions and then he looked up into the heavens and said, Allahumma fashhad. Oh Allah, bear witness. He asked them, did I deliver the message? Did I fulfill my duty? They said, yes, you have, loudly. And he looked up and he says, oh Allah, bear witness, I have delivered. What was the message? He came to teach me and you how to worship Allah. He came to me and you to teach how to worship Allah. That was his entire message. That was his mission. He came to teach me how to worship Allah. And thereafter, towards the end, a verse was revealed, which was such a powerful verse that the Jewish people told the messengers, companions, had we had a verse like this, we would have made it a day of celebration. What is the verse? Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. On this day, I have perfected your religion, Allah is saying. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. On this day, I have completed, I have perfected your religion, your faith. Whatever I wanted you to know as to how to worship me is complete. It is here and I have presented it to you. And I have completed my gift upon you, O man. That means the biggest gift you have is the completion of the faith in your hands. Allahu Akbar. That's what Allah says. Atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Do you know what that means? The Quran, Allah's word, the one who made you, the one whom I am going to return to in a few minutes when I'm in my grave, subhanallah. He is telling me that I have completed my gift to you, ni'mah. My gift to you is now complete. If you were to give me a gift, or I were to give you a gift of a mobile phone or a computer or the latest motor vehicle or whatever else, how excited would you get, subhanallah, or would I? What about your maker telling you, I have completed my gift upon you, O man? What is it? I've shown you how to worship me. Don't come and say that nobody sent you a messenger to tell you how I would like to be worshipped. Allahu Akbar. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I have kept, I have been pleased and become pleased, and my happiness lies in surrendering to the faith. Surrendering. Al-Islam, what does it mean? Al-Istislamu lillahi. Islam means to surrender to Allah. If you surrender to my instruction, you will definitely achieve the inner peace that you are hunting for. I have spoken to non-Muslims who are very high in rank in terms of worldly eyes, and they have said, we are searching for contentment. Some of them, I've told them, how can you search for contentment everywhere when the Quran is in front of you and you haven't yet opened it? So I call on the Muslims as well. You are sad, you have some sadness, you have lack of contentment, you have a problem, an issue. How can you look for solutions to your problems when you have not yet opened the book of all solutions? Subhanallah. The book of all solutions, the Quran. We become engrossed by that which is besides Allah and His Messenger. So Allah says,
وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ.
We need to be careful of this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made mention of, then those whose hearts have a disease in them, they become upset. Their hearts become upset. Those who are not looking forward to the meeting with Allah, when you mention Allah and you read His verses and you mention what is right and you mention what is wrong in order for them to abstain, their hearts become upset. They become people who feel hurt. Why are you telling us this? And the next verse or part of the same verse says that whenever anything besides Allah is made mention of, they are giving people good news. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? But that's not from Allah. But that's not from His Messenger. That's not from the deen. What are you getting so excited about when people are telling you to do things and to worship Allah in a way that neither Allah has condoned nor did the Messenger teach? If that's the case, you might be falling in the bracket of this verse where Allah says, mention Allah, they get upset. Mention everyone besides Allah, they get excited and they convey the message to everyone. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters, do not for one moment think that the devil does not come to you to try to deviate you. He comes every day to everyone and he tries very hard. The more you are trying, the more he tries. Until he will make you reduce your religion to singing songs in a way that the Christians do, and to become such that going to the masjid will then, may Allah protect us, become an outing to date the opposite sex. And it will become that which we watch those of other faiths doing, yet they also had the correct word at one stage. How did they deviate? It's important for us to know. They deviated, let me tell you, and you can read about it and you will see. Jesus, may peace be upon him, a powerful messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came to tell people to worship Allah alone. So when he was raised, Shaitan comes and says, do you know what? This man was a powerful man. Yes, he was. See, the first statement is correct. This man was so powerful that Allah created him without the involvement of a male. Correct. This man was so gifted that he had miracles where he could cure even the dead by the will of Allah. They will say, correct. This man had no father, so who was his father? Now that's the first question. So instead of saying Allah created Adam with no father, no mother, and created Eve through the involvement of a male without a female, and created Jesus with the involvement of a female and no male, and creates me and you with the involvement of both, and he has done these four to show his power, people say, no, his father was God. So a lot of people started saying his father was God. And if his father was God according to them, then he is made from the light of God. So he is a part of God. So he is God. So he is a part of Trinity. And as the first generation, second generation passed, you found a lot of people starting to say this type of thing. And it became the norm. Anyone who said, brothers and sisters, you are wrong, they were excommunicated. Why were they excommunicated? Because the force of the wrong that was going around was catalyzed by the devil. And that happens very quickly. Whereas it requires great sacrifice to understand what the truth is. Allah says,
وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا.
It is indeed those who struggle and strive to come towards us whom we shall guide to our paths. Without that struggle to find the truth, don't think it is just a date you eat and as it goes in you are suddenly rightly guided. No, it's not that. You know, my son, mashallah, he was memorizing the Quran. And I see him, there are days when he struggles and days when he tries and days when he manages and days when he doesn't manage and so on. And one day I looked at him and I said, son, don't you wish there was a little chip that Microsoft or someone came up with that you could plug into your ear and ping, you would be a hafiz, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. You know what he told me? I don't think Microsoft would do that. Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? A small boy realizes that such companies sometimes would probably promote vice. But do you know what I said? I said, you'll be surprised. Sometimes after having made something, not thinking that it can be a tool of guidance as well, the Muslims have taken it and made it a tool of guidance. So this is why yesterday we had the talk on social networking. Subhanallah. May Allah make us from those who see the light in every darkness. You know what that means? That means where there is darkness, we recognize where the light is and we walk towards it out of that darkness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So this is why we say, a struggle is required for you to understand what is right and wrong. Do not think that without a struggle, suddenly guidance is just going to come and you will know what's right and wrong. Shaitan will come to you on a daily basis. Thereafter, Shaitan came to those and made them reduce their places of worship to something else. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mushriks of Mecca used to come to the haram. That is the same haram that was built by Ibrahim, the Prophet Abraham, one of the top sacred prophets of Allah, one of the top creatures that Allah has created, the Prophet Abraham, may peace be upon him. He built that house and Allah says, it has got to a stage where وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً. Their worship at the house is nothing but clapping and whistling. That's what they consider an act of worship. You take a look at people who go to places of worship and they come back having moved their buttocks so badly that they are sore and they call it worship. It's a reality. People who have gone to places of worship coming out such that they are deaf with the sound of the beat that has drummed straight through their hearts. Well, those hearts are hollow. Allahu Akbar. It needs a proper heart to understand that the Quran tells you worship is not all about whistling and clapping. No, worship is something serious. Allah created you so that you worship Him. That means you lead your life in a way that will please Allah. We always say Islam is not a religion. It is a way of life. Comprehensive, detailed way of life. Governing your dealings, governing the movement of your eyes. Very soon even your phones will be able to be governed by that movement of your eyes, subhanallah. If you've read the all about the S4, we've been speaking about it for the last few days, mashallah. And they tell you about the eye. Well, Islam teaches you how to operate that eye of yours, subhanallah. And Islam goes into so much detail. You and I know how in-depth the rules of cleanliness are. Amazing, amazing, subhanallah. So it is a comprehensive way of life. But the core of it is to ensure you understand why Allah created you, number one, and why He sent the messenger, number two. That is the core. If you know that, believe me, you have a PhD in spirituality. And for as long as you don't understand that, keep on learning. One day you will get there. Ask yourself every day, why did Allah make me? And what was the role of the messenger? So you find the others, and I'm talking about them because we need to learn a lesson. And obviously, they are free to do what they are doing. We are not insulting in any way. We are only learning by example. Religion has been reduced to the singing of songs, to the waving of hands, to the clapping, the whistling. going into a church or a religious venue dressed up in order to attract the opposite sex, with the most attractive perfumes, arriving with vehicles that are outstripping one another in terms of value and showing this off and that off, where you have, subhanallah, sometimes, and I don't even want to get into further details, but deviation is such that people consider it acts of worship. And people consider it religion. And do you know, the bubble is blown such that you feel emotionally high. It's just a bubble, my brothers and sisters. When you come out to the real life, you realize there is a pin in my balloon and it has suddenly popped. When will it be blown again? Next week, Sunday. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's a reality. It's something that I know religious people who have turned to Islam have confessed, that we have been on the podium and our job has been to blow the balloon of everyone and make them feel spiritual, when we have not provided them solutions to the problems they have around them on the globe. And Islam, when we studied it with the wrong eyes, we were convinced that this was the right religion. We changed our eyes. We made them the right eyes. We have had archbishops who have come into Islam. We have had people of high standing in religions of the globe that have come to Islam, and they have confessed. They have said, do you know what? This is the true faith of Jesus. May peace be upon him. This is why we say, let us not allow ourselves to be deviated. Shaitan, the devil, he used the same plan with them, and he made them consider a messenger a part of God. Remember, he is using the same plan with everyone at every time. We understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the highest and the best of creation. But Allah says, you follow his message. You do not consider him a god, nor do you consider him a part of God. The Quran speaks about Jesus and says, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Jesus, may peace be upon him, on the day of judgment, O Jesus, did you tell these people to worship you and your mother besides Allah, or as associates with Allah? And do you know what his response will be? Subhanak, all praise is due to you. Glory be to you. I never told them that. I did not say anything except that you have instructed me. I told them, worship Allah who made me and he made you. Subhanallah. The same plan is used by the devil with the Muslims. This is why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the end of his life, one day he was lying down and he was quite ill. And he got up and he was quite upset. And he looks at his companions and he says, La tutruni kama ataratin nasara ibn Maryam. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. What a powerful message. Towards the end of his life, he says, be careful, my people, do not go beyond the limits with me. The same way the Christians went beyond the limits with Jesus. Always call me Abdullahi wa Rasuluhu. Say that I am a slave of Allah and his messenger. This is why when we utter the Shahada, what do we say? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We've uttered the term Rasulullah. Then we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is abduhu wa rasuluhu, his worshipper and his messenger. Where did I get it from? He said, قُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Say, Abdullah wa Rasuluh. So we say that. So this was towards the end of his life, when he drew our attention to his worry and his fear. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was it? My people, do not go beyond the limits. I am a messenger. My message is more powerful than anything. Yes, you will respect me. You will send blessings and salutations upon me. But do it how I taught you. And remember that anyone who comes to you with anything
that I did not teach in terms of acts of worship. Remember, it is an insult to me and to my message and me as a messenger. If your deen is complete and the gift of Allah is sealed unto you, do not knock a hole into it and say, oh Muhammad, you forgot something, but this sheikh has brought it. He knew more than you. And you know what? I get a kick out of it. If you get a kick out of it, the Christians get a kick out of the dance that they engage in their churches as well. Allahu Akbar. Remember this. So it is not good enough for us to think for a moment that I get a kick out of something, that's why I should do it. No. What is an innovation? An innovation, to be honest, that word, we must be happy when we hear it, because it is one of the finest words of guidance. When we hear that word, we should keep our ears out. We should be the furthest away from, because what gift do you have? I just said moments ago, Allah says, ni'mati lakum, my gift for you is al-Islam. I've given it as a gift. Hold it. When you have a valuable gift worth more than 50 billion ringgits, I don't know why I'm thinking of that figure, but worth more than 50 billion ringgits, you would be foolish if you think there are no thugs out there trying to substitute your diamond with a fake diamond. So you think you have the diamond, but when you get in the akhirah, they look at it and say, hey, that's a fake diamond. Allahu Akbar. You understand what we're saying? You have a diamond. Your diamond is valuable. Hold it. Make sure you know what it is. Polish it. Become an expert yourself to look into the diamond on your own to see, is it a legitimate, genuine diamond? Because the guy who you've employed to look into the diamonds might replace it with another diamond. When its value is very high, there is a greater probability. There is a greater probability of it being replaced in a way that the day you take it to that jeweler on a rainy day, when you, or even for example, when a person dies and you know your stone happens to go to Sotheby's or somewhere in London, and what happens? They say, oh, this is not worth £3. It's just a stone from Zimbabwe. By the way, we have genuine diamonds for your information. So it would be wrong for us to be so foolish, really. The most valuable thing I have is my deen. Shaytan replaces that diamond with something that we think is deen, and it's not. Allahu Akbar, it is not. And this is why we get excited and we start thinking, wow. And this is called an insult to the messenger. He tells you loud and clear, loud and clear. It's in the Quran. It is in the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be careful. Look at your actions. Look at your deeds. Islam is simple. Your link is with Allah. You confess your sins to Allah. Your tawbah is with Allah. Well, the Christians had it exactly the same until there came a time when they were told, no, you need to confess. You need to be delivered. Delivered by who? Delivered by a man standing in front of you. Go to him and tell him what you did, and he will forgive you. Because he has a link with the maker. Yes, people can make dua for you in Islam. But you do not confess your sin to anyone but your maker. That is the core of Islam. That is what is attracting the non-Muslims to Islam today. It is the concept of godhood. And the fact that you have a direct link with your maker. That is why Islam is the fastest growing religion on the globe. Because of its concept of godhood. And because of the fact that your link with your maker is paramount. It is the most powerful gift you have. You put your head on the ground for who? The one who made you. The one you are going to return to. This is what Islam is all about. So how can I come to someone and say, you know what? I did this and I did that and I did that, and forgive me. And he says, my son, you are forgiven. He turns around, moves backstage, and is committing a bigger sin than what you had told him. It is happening. It has happened. It has been a source of embarrassment for the church on the highest level. They know it, and it's open news. May Allah protect us. Allah will never embarrass you. He will cover you. Do you know how He will cover you? If He has covered you whilst you were sinning, do you think He's going to expose you when you have repented? Allahu Akbar. If Allah has covered you whilst you were sinning, do you think He is going to expose you when you have repented? Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. My brothers and sisters, let's turn to Allah in repentance. No matter what you've done, Allah is your maker. Do not follow the path of those who lead astray. Follow the path of Allah. This is why, my brothers and sisters, in salah, we read Surah Al-Fatiha. The first dua we make, and the one we keep repeating, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide me to the straight path. We make it so many times. Allah instructed us to make it so many times because of its importance. The most important thing you have, I have, would be the gift of being able to tread the right path. That's the gift. This is why there is no point in telling people, you know what, give me a job, please give me a job. Every day you go to one man, you say, please give me a job, please give me a job, please give me a job. He wants to offer you the job, but you don't pitch up at work. And he says, okay, come to work. And you don't go. Okay, come to work. You don't go. So there is no point in saying, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم a million times when you have no intention to look for the path or to walk on it or to make an effort to learn it. Subhanallah. How can we keep on saying, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم? And do you know what Allah says thereafter? I'm sure you know, and I'm sure you would know the meaning of it. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Subhanallah, Ameen. How powerful. Guide us to the path of those whom you have favored, not the path of those who have gone astray or those who have earned your anger. Those who have earned your anger or those who have gone astray. Ya Allah, if this is the most powerful dua, there is something about it that I need to know. Like I said, when you have something very valuable, you will look after it. So when you have something as valuable as your iman that Allah calls a gift, look after it. Look at it. Protect it from rust and dust. Make sure you've covered it. Make sure you have people around you, subhanallah, who are there to guide you to protect it. You know, there was a certain brother who had a stone. And he walked into a jeweler's shop with the stone and he said, you know what? What is the value of this? And the jeweler looked at it and he looked and he says, this is an extremely valuable stone. So dangerous for you to be walking with this thing in your pocket. So he sent security guards with this brother back to his vehicle in order to walk with him so no one steals the stone. He told me this later, firsthand. And I looked at him and I said, do you know what? There are 2-3 lessons we learn from this. One is, it takes an expert to recognize what is good and what is bad. An expert. In our case, we're talking of the deen. So Allah is the expert of experts. That term is so low for him as well. He's higher than that. So Allah has sent you guidance. He's showing you the path. And at the same time, the second point we learn, the thugs that are outside are two types. Those who can see your diamond with an x-ray in their eyes through in your pocket. Number one. Number two, those who now know you have a diamond because of the security guards. Before that, they didn't know. Now that everyone is walking with you, hey, what's happening with this man? You know, it's like the Imam of the Haram. When he walks into the Haram, a lot of the times they walk in, nobody even knows who's coming and what happens. When he's going out, the whole world knows, hey, that was the Imam, subhanallah. You know, he was sitting next to me. What happened? So we need to be careful because we have the gift of the deen. Sometimes there are devils who know we have it, and sometimes people see it and then want to take it away from us. Two types of devils. There are some people who will work on you because you have worn your hijab and because you are appearing as a Muslim. My name is Abdul Aziz, mashallah. What a beautiful name. It starts from A to Z. You know, Abdul Aziz, A, B, and goes all the way to Z. So that name, I love it because it's from A to Z, mashallah. You have such a beautiful name, mashallah. And when they hear the name and you say, yes, I'm a Muslim, then they send someone to tackle you. But you know, Islam is against women's rights. Wallahi, that's a tale I've heard a long time ago. Go and read and find out and see what's happening. And go and see the Globe where people have used the term freedom of women, wallahi, to reduce them below the dirt that is underneath our feet. Wallahi. Wallahi, I'm not joking. If you witness the Globe today and you see how fed up people are of their own gender, you will realize what I've just said. We will honor a woman. We will give her her rights. We will fulfill them. We will make sure that she gets the freedom that Islam has given her. And we will make sure we distinguish between culture and religion. Sometimes culture is guilty of putting some stops and blocks where Islam has actually given them rights. And then people blame Islam. So may Allah open our doors. But remember, when people see your Islamic dress, when they see you are reading the Quran, some of them might come and try their luck. And you know what they do? They keep on tampering. Today I received an email where someone was saying that people had knocked their door. Every Sunday they knock the door in the morning and they come and say, you know what, we're inviting you to this, we're inviting you to this. And they would close the door. And they would come faithfully with a smile, with good character. And one of the guys says, you know what, I was exactly where you were, but I've realized this is right and what you are upon is wrong. He says, what are you talking about? He says, you know how patient these people are. You know how much goodness I have achieved and so on and so forth. And the story continues. The moral of it is, when you do not know your own goodness and you don't know you have a diamond, people will replace it with you giving it to them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You have your diamond, someone has something looking better than yours. I respect China and I think it's a very, very big economy, one of the superpowers of the globe. But what I'm about to say, no offense to them, it is a sign of their intelligence to show that they cater for every sphere of the market. Listen to this. I had to say that before I said what I'm saying. They come up with little stones that look more genuine than the most genuine of diamonds. How much is this? 3 ringgit. Allahu Akbar. What powerful brains. The original watch looks fake next to the one which is 90 ringgits. It's a fact. Look at how powerful. So what happens? They say, oh, beautiful watch. We have the latest one, a later one than that. Let's see your watch. And they take it and subhanAllah, they look at it. Before you know it, it's replaced. The genuine one is down. They give it back to you. You say, thank you for shining my watch. We are doing that with our faith. We are doing that with our religion, where we are replacing the goodness we have sometimes because we don't know it is goodness. You know, I saw a man and he told me, look at this watch. It was a Patek Philippe, which is about £25,000. And he gave it to me as a gift. And he tells me, I bought it for $90. I said, what? I took it to an expert to change the battery. Wallahi, without a joke, he told me, I can't touch this. I said, why? He said, you need to take it to the company. You know, because this is a genuine watch. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, I'm not selling my story here, but I know that this man is conned. He's a genuine expert and he still doesn't know the difference because those making fakes have become expert at making them. Subhanallah. So those who really want to sell you something that they are portraying to be religion and a good part of religion are becoming experts at doing that. It's becoming more and more difficult sometimes to distinguish between fact and fable. Subhanallah. But if you know the path and you have knowledge yourself, you will be able to tell. Do you know what? Subhanallah. This is actually the right path and that is fake. The same brother told me, if they could make the whole watch, if they could make the whole watch, then to write there, made in Switzerland, is probably the easiest thing they had to do. Think of what I just said. If they could imitate the whole watch so powerfully, what was the easiest thing to imitate? Writing in ink, made in Switzerland. That was the easiest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. My brothers and sisters, what a beautiful topic. I hope we have said quite a bit. And I'd like to tackle a few issues with a slight bit of direction. One of the main points where we become deviated is when we are sick or ill, or when we suffer loss in business, and when we are seeing loss. Allah says in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that it is enough for them to say, we believe, and then they are not going to be tested? Allah says, no, we will test all of you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. We will indeed test. We will definitely test all of you. Because you are here in this world as a test. You are here in the world as a test. So Allah says, we will give you good health to see how you operate. You turn to us or you turn to someone else. We will give you wealth to see whether it makes you arrogant or not, whether it brings you to the masjid or sends you to the gambling places. Wow. I think the sound. Well, sound, whether you like that or not, it's a fact. I can say it again and I don't think the sound will be, you know, upset. Allah will give you wealth to see where you're going and how your attitude is, whether you come close to Him or not, whether you humble yourself or not. I have seen some of the wealthiest people. You won't even have a clue that they are wealthy. Subhanallah. And I've seen people who've got nothing in the way they operate. Subhanallah, the way they operate. I don't even want to show you. You know, I am a person who can actually walk from that side of the stage now to the other side, showing you how it works. But I won't do that today, inshallah. So my brothers and sisters, this is all a test. It's a pastime. Some people die without sickness. And some people die with prolonged sickness. It's a test. Allah gives you an opportunity. Some people have a long test. Some people have a small test. Some people fail once or twice and then they pass with flying colors. Some people pass with flying colors, but they are jobless. Allahu Akbar. It's a test. It's a test from Allah. So what happens to us? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. You understand Allah will test you. When you have, it's an easier test. But it's also very challenging. And when you don't have, it's an even bigger test. كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَنْ يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ says, sometimes poverty is almost disbelief. It's on the border of it. Because for money, people can do anything. I've seen it. I really have seen it with these eyes of mine. And I'm sure you have as well. For money, people will sell their faith. People will sell their children. Some people have been selling their own family members just to earn a little bit of money. I hope not in this country, but I read about it on the net recently in some places where there is a disaster on the globe. May Allah protect them and may Allah never ever let us see a condition where we are suffering to that degree. Ameen. So my brothers and sisters, when that test comes, we make dua to Allah. MashaAllah, good Muslim. Allahu Akbar, Allah, grant me cure. Ya Allah, I need wealth. Ya Allah, you know, I suffered a loss. MashaAllah, that's the way. You ask Allah and you work hard and you know the test might last long. Allah wants to keep you on that musalla or sajjada longer than you were before. Sometimes we never have called out to Allah. So Allah says, hang on, let me tap you on your back so that you can turn to me. And then when you get tapped on the back and you turn to Allah, Ya Allah, help me. Allah says, I did that to you because you didn't turn to me. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Then Allah says, you know what? I love you so much in this condition. You are so close to me. You're actually getting up every morning praying to me. I love it. Let me keep you in that condition. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us those who understand. Imagine, sometimes it takes a tap. I'm calling it a tap. I know you know what I'm saying. Sometimes it takes a tap for us to turn to Allah. When Allah loves the way we are praising Him sincerely, He says, let me keep you that way. It's good for you to die in this condition. Allah knows you might have lost a little bit of this world, but you achieve in the Akhirah. But now the weakness of man, we want instant results. You know, when they tell you, become an instant millionaire, you must know it's a lie. Believe me, if it was so true, the guy who's printing the whole thing, why he is suffering financially, only Allah knows. I always think of it, you know, I've stopped for a moment where the little lottery cubicles are sometimes and they say, become an instant millionaire. I say, sister, can you give me $50? She says, I don't have. I say, well, you offering people to become a millionaire here. You don't even have 50 bucks in your pocket. Allahu Akbar. It's the mind. It's the way it's advertised. It's the way people say things. It's the way the world has made it look. But believe me, it is not the right path. There is nothing like becoming an instant millionaire. No. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to become spiritual millionaires instantly. What that would mean is, if I have promised to turn now to Allah and to make an effort in the right direction, I've achieved. I've become an instant multi-trillionaire. Believe me. There is a figure called decillions. You will become a decillionaire. Allahu Akbar. If you want to know how I know that figure, I mentioned it the last time I was in Malaysia. I come from Zimbabwe. We've used those figures. MashaAllah. We have used them. So now the person makes dua and they say, Ya Allah, cure me and so on, until someone comes home and says, you know what? You are sick. I have a cure for you. Okay, what is the cure? I tell you what, I will take you to X, Y, and Z. They know what they are doing. So now you go to their place. And it's a person, everything is looking superstitious. It might be disguised as spiritual to you. You're about to give up your faith. Allahu Akbar. Why? Let me explain. Brothers and sisters, when you don't have wealth, there are two ways to earn it. You can either earn it lawfully or unlawfully. Unlawfully, you will become rich, but you regret it forever. If you have stolen, you become rich, but you regret it forever. Lawfully, it takes time. And sometimes, you know, a lot of effort, profit and loss. days of stress, days of no stress, but you enjoy as it comes. You know, you spend it in the right direction, you help others, you enjoy it within limits and so on, and you know that it's a gift of Allah, it can go at any time, but it is prolonged. You will have to work for years on end before you realize your first million, and thereafter it might be slightly easier to have the next and the next, you know. So that is when it comes to wealth. Two ways of doing it. You can either legitimately earn, which is prolonged, or you can illegitimately achieve, which might be instant, but it is wrong and it will result in long-term regret. The same rule applies with your sickness and illness. You can either have your cure in terms of medication, which is correct, yes, together with dua and calling out to Allah alone and probably asking others to make dua for you, which is something we're allowed to do as Muslim. You're allowed to ask others, please pray for me. And you're allowed to even tweet it out or put it on Facebook, I'm not feeling well, please pray for me. The people of the world may pray for you. You can be cured through prayer and through medication, subhanallah. The minute you want to go to someone who is going to throw three bones at you and tell you that your sister-in-law has put magic on you, that is the very moment that you have done the same thing that the thief has done when he earned $1 million and solved his problem, but he will regret all his life and even in the life after death. For some reason, there is dead silence here. Allahu Akbar. Let's hope that's not happening to us. The biggest deviation. Those innocent people are being accused by someone who claims to know the unseen. Do you know how they operate? I will tell you this evening in order to equip you with that knowledge. They have a link with the jinn sometimes. That too is prohibited. Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. In Surah Al-Jinn, Allah speaks about it. Allah says, part of the things that are mentioned, He says, and from amongst the issues that are taking place, there are people from mankind who are seeking assistance from those of jinn kind, and those of jinn kind are leading them further astray. That's a Quranic verse. Open Surah Al-Jinn and read it. Ya ma'shar al-jinn qad istakthartum min al-ins. I love that verse because it wakes us up. Oh jinn kind, you have made enough fools out of mankind. Allahu Akbar. One of the translations of that verse. Oh jinn kind, it's enough what you've done. You've already taken a lot of these people and hoodwinked them. So they would seek the assistance of a jinn who will immediately communicate with the qareen that is with you. Qareen that is with you means when Allah created you, He created your soul and put it into a uniform known as your body. This uniform, you're going to take it out when you die and your soul will continue. I hope you understand the way I've worded it. Yours is the soul. Allah has created it. He put it into this uniform known as a body. When you die, you remove your uniform and the soul is gone. With that uniform, two other elements. There is an angelic angel, an angelic force, and there is a devil. That qareen from the jinn kind, he communicates immediately with that jinn of the man whom you went to go and see. And you know what? He says, this sister has a pinched nerve at the fourth vertebra at the bottom of her back, and it's in the left corner. If you are just to give her, for example, this piece of paper and tell her to take 5 roses and cut their petals into that which is not more than 0.01 grams and take 16 lemons and cut them into quarters and put them around those petals and take the piece of paper and burn it and push it into the center, then I will actually flick out that pinched nerve. So this man with a big beard, mashallah, pink turban that is as long as ever, mashallah, you know, huge item. And he tells you, say subhanallah. You say subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Say alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah. Right, now let me tell you what's wrong with you. You need to take these petals and these lemons and this piece and do this and do that. And you need to do everything together and you will be better. So you say, shukran, jazakumullah khair. You know, mashallah, this man did not take any money. Nothing happened. He took your iman. That's what he did. And sometimes he doesn't know, because his diamond is also that Chinese one we spoke about. Subhanallah. It's a fact. So now what happens? You come and you do all that and suddenly you are better. You are better. Well, you will be better. Why? Because the devil has cured you. You stole your cure. The devil, the jinn knows exactly what happened. And the jinn knows exactly where you are standing. Subhanallah. So you were cured. Your back is cured. Mashallah. Now that man is a saint. Do you know that? And you send so many people to him. But Allah says, hang on. Do you know you can even earn money through stealing? Do you know that? You become an instant millionaire through robbery. But that does not make you a person who did something right. No. You will say, wow, I got the money. But it does not make you right. So you're saying, wow, I'm cured. But it does not make it right. You will be cured. But you suffer the consequence of it. What is the consequence? They will put a tag. They dangle something. The first thing they did, they will laugh at Allah and have insulted the messenger to say, ha, 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 ha. You told them to put their head on the ground. We promised you we will deviate them. Here they are. They're ready to cut lemons and they're ready to put roses and they're ready to do things that made no sense for us, not for you. Do you know? They just took away your iman. They made you worship the devil and you don't even know. And you're happy. You're still saying, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us understanding. So now, they will tell you, do you know who did it? A member of your family did it. Why do they say that? Every time by default, that is the answer. Sometimes they will pinpoint a person's name. They will show you, look up into the wall. When you look up, you see a face. Wow, wait. No, I'm not joking. I'm honest with you. You'll see a face. The face. Hey, that's my sister-in-law. Okay, right. I know what happened. Wallahi, that was the jinn. That's all. What is the job of the jinn? To break your family ties. That's point number one. Go and read the hadith. Allah explains it through the blessed lips of that messenger whose mission was to show you how Allah wants to be worshipped. And here we are thinking, wow, you know what? This is true. I've seen it with my eyes. And then they tell you, no, you know what? Just read a lot of salah. Read a lot of salah. So in your heart, you're thinking, subhanallah, this cannot be wrong. The man is telling me to read Quran. He's telling me to read salah. But now I hate my sister. I hate my sister-in-law. I hate my mother. My mother is a witch and my auntie is a witch. And everybody else is doing so much witchcraft. And I am the person, everybody's against me. And everybody's bombarding me. And nobody has done anything, nothing at all. There are innocent people whom you are accusing. Because you have worshipped the devil. Allahu Akbar. And we become so deep in it that we cannot do without it. My brothers and sisters, that's not how a Muslim should operate. Pray and keep praying. I have seen the power of prayer. It will deliver you from whatever you have been suffering from. Believe me. But you need to be constant. Maintain it. Turn to Allah. How can we want Allah to cure us when we are on the wrong page? Sometimes forget about the wrong page. We're in the wrong book altogether. Allahu Akbar. And we want Allah to cure us. What type of deviation is this? Wallahi, we should understand. If someone claims that X and Y did it, let me tell you. And I'm telling you because I know what I'm talking about. If that jinn was told you are lying, the jinn will change the name. If the jinn says, Abdullah did this to you, you say, you are lying. He says, okay, Abdurrahman did it to you. Say, no, you are lying. Okay, Fatima did it to you. You are lying. Okay, Khadija did it to you. That proves that the jinn is a liar. Allah says, the jinn is making fools of you, oh man. And we are busy saying, no, he told the truth. Because you don't know how that man operated. The man who gave you the answer, you don't even know how he operated. But this is what they're doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Do you know this evening's topic? Subhanallah. This that I've delivered is only an introduction. That's all it is. It is just an introduction. It is up to you to take that diamond of yours, polish it, and understand we need to hold fast onto this gift we have. We worship Allah. We follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, we respect people of other faiths. They are human beings and they are all not yet Muslim. Subhanallah. They are all people who will be looking at the goodness of Islam. They will be watching us. And they will get their answers sometimes just through watching us without asking us questions. Some people have questions in their hearts. They are too embarrassed to ask. Some of the non-Muslims, they just look at us. And they tick off or cross the idea they had of Islam. So it's important. Like I said, your children will ask you questions. You need to learn. You need to know. Remember, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect my deen and yours. May He grant me paradise and you. I want paradise. It's the biggest gift. As easy as it may be to achieve, that is how easy it is to lose as well. So we need to make sure we are heading in the right direction. Remember, look after your faith. Learn how the people of the previous books have lost their faith. It will teach you a lot about how the devil works with us. It will teach you a lot. How they would still feel highly elevated, highly spiritual, but in essence what they have is not even a deed. Because any act of worship that was not taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it would mean that that act of worship is not worth engaging in. Why? He came to teach me how to worship Allah. If I were to do something that he did not teach, it means I do not believe in the term بَلَّغَ الرِّسَالَةَ وَأَدَّ الْأَمَانَةَ. He has conveyed the message and he has indeed fulfilled the trust that he was entrusted with. How can I say that on one hand and the other hand, I do things that are not taught by him, not done by him, not condoned by him in terms of acts of worship? Why do I say in terms of acts of worship? Let me quickly tell you why. If it is something like a light or paint or a house or a car, these are not direct acts of worship. So the term innovation would not actually enter those items in terms of religious innovation. But an innovation in terms of religion is any act of worship. That's the first part of it. Any act of worship that was not taught or condoned by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we would say we don't need it, we should abstain from it, and we will achieve comfort when we have disassociated ourselves from it, the true comfort, and not just looking at your diamond thinking it's a diamond, yet it's a piece of plastic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. My brothers and sisters, I love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really what brings me here, solely and only the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I expect nothing from you besides dua. And inshallah, the same goes from me. I pray that Allah guide you, bless you, ease whatever difficulties you may be facing, and cure everyone who is facing illness. Have mercy on those from your family members who've passed away, and have mercy on you and myself the day I pass away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me. May He make me and you also from amongst those who struggle and strive to correct our faith, meaning to learn more and more in order to correct the mistakes we are making in life, and at the same time, such that when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows our struggle and He is pleased with us. Until then, and until we meet again, perhaps by the will of Allah, we say, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayki.